doing our best to keep you informed with what's happening in your city. It's the What's Happening Miami Gardens Show with your host, T. Duard Williams. My friends, this is T. Duard Williams, your host and your executive producer of the What's Happening Miami Gardens Show. Listen, if you weren't at the UPPAC meeting last week, you really missed an event. UPPAC hosted the candidates for Miami Gardens residential seat number 4. And I wanted to go ahead and let you be the judge of what each candidate represents and brings to the table for our city. This is T. Duard Williams. I just wanted you to give a listen.
Have you attended in the last year City Miami Gardens Council meetings? And what do you think about the fiscal position that Miami Gardens is in at this time? Just give us an overview of how often you've been to the meetings and what do you think our fiscal position is in City of Miami Gardens. Yes.
I have been to about 4 council meetings. Unfortunately, when I got there, they were over. They went so fast. And I wondered how you can conduct business that quick. If you truly are informing the residents and offering a dialogue about those agenda items that are there. When we take a look at the fiscal position of Miami Gardens, that's another difficult thing to find out. Although I do know that there was a 300 and some odd page budget printed on the website, it still is extremely difficult because you are not able to get a lot of information to ascertain how the money and how things are being spent. So when we take a look at Miami Gardens, sometimes the consent agenda is something that the public is just not aware of. And so I have gone, but when I, like I said, when I go, I kind of wonder, what's the purpose if there is no public hearing?
Okay, and you can say your name as many times as you want.
Oh, okay. I say it or not. Katrina Wilson, Council Seat 4.
Okay. Hi, everyone. Sandra McDowell. And I've been to all of the council meetings except for maybe 3 when I was working or visiting my son in the military. So there are meetings and some of them are quite lengthy and some of them, if the mayor is not present, are quite maybe a little bit shorter because as we all know, the mayor does like to talk at the end. What about the 15, the physical position of the City of Miami Gardens? Well, I know that the police department hasn't gotten a raise in about 7 to 8 years. I know that we have issue with the $60 million bond, couldn't read my handwriting there, $60 million bond. I also know that we are not budget is made up and we see it afterwards. I know they say they have a budget committee, but I try to be a part of that and I was not included. So only the end people are included or people of like mind. So I'm not privy to too much. I've asked for a couple of items from the city clerk and I've yet to get it, just like I've asked for Jazz in the Garden budget. I've asked for the food and wine budget and some other budgets and I've yet to get that from from the city of Miami Gardens. Maybe I'll get it now, I don't know. So that's as far as I know about the physical situation of Miami Gardens. I know that we do need to have transparency when it comes to that.
My name is Janice Coakley. I have attended several of the city council meetings. I cannot count them all on my hands because I have attended many. I just don't attend the council meetings. I attend events that is in the city of Miami Gardens. The city budget, as the ladies have stated, is really hard to know what our deficit is because the money is here. We need a city itemized budget so the residents and the community will know where our money is going. I cannot tell you how much deficit or how much debt we have because it is hid in the budget. But when I am elected, you can bet I will be digging through those holes. Elect Janice Coakley, seat 4. Thank you.
Shannon Campbell again here. Me, I'm a little different, and I just want to put that disclaimer out there. So I know for a fact that, I'm going to address the fiscal budget, I know for a fact that we are in the black. We're good, okay? And it's not hidden. If you go to the website, it's easy to find. If you set up meetings, you know, the people that are in the office, they will meet with you. And these are things that I have done. And we are in the black. We're in good condition. We have enough in reserves, and we're in good shape. And that's a good thing. And we have items that come from many, many avenues, and it's not just coming from taxes. We don't run this city and balance our city based on homes, the taxes that we recuperate from the homes, okay? We have other avenues that bring in and generate dollars to help this city run, such as if you look at your utility bill, there is a special tax in there that comes back to the city, okay? So look at that, you know, and there are other ways, certain communication aspects, your phone bill, you know, there's a special tax and monies that generate from that and come back to the city, okay? So that's my take on the fiscal, and I could get a little deeper at any time, but I only have 2 minutes, and I want to reclaim my time at some point.
Okay, next question for everyone to answer. What do you know about Jazz in the Gardens and the fiscal impact, positive or negative, on the city's budget when it comes to Jazz in the Gardens? Give us your take on Jazz in the Gardens. We're going to start up that end.
Good morning again.
Good morning.
Janice Coakley, seat 4. Jazz in the Garden, you really can't find out too much because when you do a public record request, you do not get it. Maybe some people get it, but I'm one of them that don't. Years ago, when I requested it, I used to get where you got the breakdown of how much they paid the artists, what the artists requested, and so on and so on, where you could see if there is a profit, and if not, what you need to change to make it a better event. Yes, we should keep Jazz in the Garden, but we need to see how we could budget it and better plan it. So when you don't have that information, and you can't get that information to see if it's a deficit or if it's a profit, I have requested that information, and public records request supposed to be responded in so many days. So some people might have the access to get that information, but Janice Coakley, who's running for seat 4, Has not. Thank you.
Good morning again. Sandra McDowell, running for seat four. And Jazz in the Garden. I was excited to be one of the first volunteers to work on Jazz in the Garden with the former mayor. I was out there at 1 o'clock in the morning sweeping up the floors and putting things away. And I was privy to the budget because I was part of the budget. Line items, who we paid, the artists. Now, going forward, we are no longer privy to that budget. Why? I have some suspicions, but I'll keep them to myself. Is Jazz in the Gardens a good thing? I think it's a great thing to promote our city. But we don't want to be known as a party city, but the residents don't profit from that partying. You know, other cities have big events and they charge a fee for everyone that don't live in the city, and the residents get a discount. I don't think we do that with Jazz in the Gardens, so I'm not sure. So it's a great thing to promote Miami Gardens. It's our number one flagship event. However, again, there's no transparency. There's no oversight. And in order to keep it going, I think we need that transparency and that oversight for the residents to understand where their taxes are being spent. Can anyone hear me? Okay, great. So yes, keep Jazz in the Garden, but make sure that transparency, and make sure we understand the purpose of the residents understand the purpose of Jazz in the Gardens, and they don't have to volunteer to get in free. They can be a part of it at a discounted rate. Thank you. Sandra McDowell, running for seat four.
Once again, I agree. I think that Jazz in the Gardens has been an awesome event. As a matter of fact, I believe that it has been a flagship event. I can't comment on a budget because I haven't seen it. But what I can say is that I know that oftentimes when communities start up things like a festival, they run into some deficit until it becomes a profitable event. This past year at Jazz in the Gardens, I saw a total difference in the way in which it was organized and the total difference in the way it was ran. I am a huge supporter of Jazz in the Gardens. I'm not a huge supporter of running a deficit. And if in fact it is something that causes a deficit in this city, I know as a council person, I have a fiduciary responsibility to ensure that anything that we do, that number one, it is transparent, and number two, that it follows a policy and procedure that allows us as a council to vote on whether or not we ought to fund it and how much we ought to fund it. So I will, as councilperson, going forward, ensure that that line item budget that costs the city anything as it relates to Miami Gardens, if an item that will come up for discussion is an item that will be made known to the residents, and is an item, in fact, that will well position the city as it moves forward. Again, I am Katrina Wilson. I'm running for seat four.
Shannon Campbell, and again, here's that outlier in me. I like the Jazz in the Gardens events, and number one, unlike my opponents here, Jazz in the Gardens is an event that is voted on by the council. They vote on it every year to either have it or don't have it. So the council members are the ones that decide whether to have that event. That's number one. Number two, last year's event, 2017, was approximately about a $2 million deficit. That's where we're at with Jazz in the Gardens, okay? But coming into this year, 2018, which they decided to hire an outside entity, an outside company. In the past, Jazz in the Gardens was done in-house, and we didn't have maybe the people that knew that parameters of that. So now that they hired an outside entity and they came in and things were a little different, and you even saw things different in this last one in 2018. So now we're waiting for the numbers to actually come out and vote Shannon Campbell.
Okay,
I'm mixing in the questions from the audience. So I'm going to be asking some of your questions. And the first one is connected to community development areas. Now they call them CDCs, community development districts. Right, thank you. Are you familiar with community development districts like Coconut Cay? What do you think of community development districts? And are they positive, negative? And in talking about community development districts in the development of Miami Gardens, where do you see us going? Are we going to end up looking like Aventura? Or what's our future in terms of development in general in your mind? McDowell, start.
Thank you for the question. CDCs, as a former banker, I'm familiar with CDC. There's good and bad aspects of CDCs. I'm sorry, let me get around the front. CDCs are great for communities that are starting out. But what I think is lacking is that there's no assistance from the people that are creating the packages that are presented to the city. And there's no oversight. And once the CDC has developed and left, it's very hard for the community, the residents, to go back to the CDC and make them responsible. So there has to be something in that packaging that will not leave the community like they did with Coconut Cay with the flooding situation. And it's very hard to get to the CDC. In the meeting last week, the mayor said to one of the concerned residents of Coconut Cay that they're meeting with the CDC. She wanted to bring the CDC, and he said, we cannot bring them back to the table once that development is done and over with. But we can have a conversation with them. Well, I believe if we're gonna have any more CDCs in Miami Gardens, we need to have that conversation ahead of any other development by the CDC in Miami Gardens, so that we're not left with flooding, drainage issues that we have seen in Miami Gardens. And the residents are not forced to foot that bill. And again, my name is Sandra McDowell, and I'm running for C4. Thank you.
Commissioner, can you qualify that CDC and CDD is not the same? You ask for CDD, it's not the CDC, it's two different things. So just want to make sure that I answer the question correctly. CDD, Community Development District, is not a CDC.
Okay, now you're the banker.
Community development.
Community. We're not talking about the community development districts that are established in certain areas of the city. We're talking about developers. Now tell me which one that is.
That's the CDD, like what Coconut Cay is, the CDD.
Right. Yeah, Coconut Cay is the CDD. I did say that.
That's a CDD.
I really wanted to focus on areas like Coconut Cay, CDD. The CDD, Community Development District, is when you have a private developer come to the city and ask for permission to develop homes or condos or whatever in whatever property they own. They come, if they get permission from the city, they create those developments. They set their own board. You don't even have to live in Miami Gardens to be on the board that controls the area where you buy that pretty house. You don't control it unless you're on the board. And so what I've been hearing over and over and over from the residents of Coconut Cay is that the flooding is ridiculous. They're not getting, they don't have any power to make changes because they're not board members. The city of Miami Gardens actually does not have any responsibility for infrastructure because it's a private development. And so, if you have an opinion about private developments that operate like that, or do you, if you know how that's established, or if you've heard from the people who live in the private developments. First of all, Coconut Cay is not the only one. You have Vista Verde over there, they've been on there for 99 years. It's a private development. And I haven't heard about any problems that they're having. So I'm gonna let you respond, okay.
Let me respond to that again. I live in a private development where it was built in 1977, where they developed it, made us a lot of promises, and left us high and dry and filed bankruptcy. And that's Lejeune Gardens, across from Jesus People. That's now our, we're, as homeowners, as the president of that association for 7 years, it's been hard and difficult to get the homeowners to pay their fair share and to help us redevelop that area. And we cannot get other private developers back in there because it's so far gone. So one of the things I would make once I'm on that dais, once I do sit on that dais, is that any developers, private developers that come into Miami Gardens, first of all, we have to make some sort of stipulation. You don't just come, develop, and leave. We have other developments such as mine that I would like to see a developer come in and look at and give us some sort of perspective on what we can do at no cost. So that way we're not just, they're not just coming in and developing, they're also leaving a foundation for other areas in Miami Gardens at free. And the other thing I would like for them to do once we're on that dais is once they leave, there has to be some sort of a 10-year provision so that whatever happens, because it's not going to happen in the first year, it's not going to happen in the second year, and it's not going to happen in the third year. But I guarantee you that fifth, sixth, and seventh year, you'll start seeing that flooding. You'll start seeing that roof caving in of that street, that sinkhole. So we have to have some sort of provisions with these private developers that they cannot just come and develop. They don't do it in other cities, so why come and do it in Miami Gardens?
Shannon Campbell here again. I agree with what Ms. McDowell has said as it relates to the private companies coming in and just infiltrating our community. So my objective and what I'm going to oppose or suggest to us as a community, let's get together and form our own and come in and if we want to form our private development of private inner communities, let's do that.
That's right. Let's
do it. Let's do it ourselves. We shouldn't have to go outward and have other people coming in and infiltrating our community. We shouldn't allow that. So that's what we need to do. And that's my take on it. And I'm all for that. And I'm that kind of person, too. Vote Shannon Campbell, a name you can trust.
To me, people cannot infiltrate anything when you have the appropriate systems and protocols in place. And so when you begin to take a look at Miami Gardens, if anybody has infiltrated it, it's because you open the door and you let them in. All right? And so when we begin to take a look at what it's going to take to keep our community strong, we have to have a conscious effort of who we are. We've got to know who we are and where we are going. And we don't need to mirror anybody else other than being who we are and what we have destined in ourselves to become. So when a person comes in and proposes something to you and it is contrary to that strategic plan and that vision, you tell them what?
No.
And so you don't hide it from the citizenry. We are an educated intelligentsia here in Miami Gardens. We are a community of thinkers. We are people who have come here and started a city with a vision. We have to remember that. And so you can come at the door selling knives that are not sharp all you want. We don't have to buy it. And so this is the opportunity for you to realize that there is change and a wind of change coming in the atmosphere. And we have got to be a part of that change by, number one, preparing ourselves, and we've got to change for the generation so that our children can have these homes and the community that we destined for them to have. So CDCs, EMGs, and HIJs, it doesn't matter when you have an intelligent community that is informed and involved and that is not. Now let me say one other thing. This cannot be a family affair, folks. It cannot be select on who you want to give information to. The information ought to be given to a community that is interested in knowing. Okay? So that you can have, okay.
Janice Copley for seat four. I definitely agree with my sister because it starts from the top. You have to look at the budget and look at the chart. Long time ago, the chart had resident, mayor and council, staff, and down. Now if you look at that budget sheet, it's mayor and council. You don't see residents nowhere there. The residents go and they cannot speak, but a developer could come and speak and make a presentation for 20 minutes,
amen.
40 minutes.
All right. Amen.
And then they don't listen to the residents.
Amen.
Over on 191st off of 27th Avenue is a development over there. I couldn't believe it. It's flooded. They have no lights. Just like the developers are gone. It's an HOA and the residents are stuck. We need to put people in leadership like myself for C4. To make sure when these developers, but you got to remember, I will be only one vote. That means it takes four votes. And when people know it takes four votes to get something taken care of, they lobby. And you have to stop selling your soul to the lobbyists and think about the residents. So until we put that chart back, residents, mayor and council, and department heads and staff, we are the people. We need to start making them accountable. So please vote for Janice Copley, C4, and I will make myself accountable. Thank you.
Amen.
Okay, we have another race to get to, so I'm going to ask each one of them now to give a 2-minute closing. And then we'll move on to the next race. I think you've heard quite a bit. And then we hear every Saturday. The question is, will it come back? So we're going to start us this game with getting terrible, and each one will give 2 minutes close.
Shani Campbell here, and I'm very thankful for this opportunity, you know, and thankful for all of you listening to us and our comments. I want to close by saying this, ladies and gentlemen. You know, it's been an experience to see what has been done in this city coming up as a young until now. You know, being someone that fought for ex-felons' rights to be restored, that's something that I did. And I fought from Palm Beach County to Homestead. And I'm going to keep fighting. But as you see, me being instrumental in getting that done, it is on the ballot. And we're going to get our ex-felons their rights back with us voting as a people and a community abroad. That's number one. You know, just making myself available to those that are in need. You know, working with the homeless, working with our youth. I fed the homeless on my own before this vision even came in my head. These are things that I did. You know, working with our young people, you know, the youth empowerment. I'm big on that. economic development. If it's gonna bring and generate dollars to this city and our community, yes, I'm for it. Look at the beautiful promenade that's coming. You know, we had a flea market there. That's no longer in existence. We're better than that. And we're making this community better. And I'm all about progress, moving forward. So that's what you guys need to know about me. Do your research. Visit my website, ShannonCampbellCampaign.net. Look me up. Don't believe nothing I'm saying today. Research me. Do your own homework. That's the educating me, challenging you to educate yourself on who's up here and before you. Vote Shannon Campbell, a name you can trust. And let's let what the original founding members of this city started, let's let the legacy live on. Thank you. Katrina Wilson. Wilson, a name that you know. A name that you can trust. A name that has a track record. A name that produces. A name that is more than just a name, but it is result-oriented. As I have said to you before, I have been a part and I have worked with some of the most noted leaders in this community. Not as a leader, but as a worker. I don't just talk. I work hard, and usually my head doesn't come up until the task that is placed in front of me is completed. I believe that I have solutions, viable, sustainable solutions that includes every single one of you that desire to be a part of that. I know what part of our solution to reducing crime. I know what part of the solution is to bringing a budget and a community that increases the quality of life. I know what kinds of programs and research products that can be done to make this place a place that we all are proud of, a place where everybody knows your name. That's a vote for Katrina Wilson. Katrina Wilson is a product of this community just like you are. And I want us to continue to see our community grow and become sustainable and become a preeminent city, not only in this county, in this state, and in this nation. So vote for me as a vote for high quality. I am Katrina Wilson, Council Seat 4. Thank you.
And again, thank you for having me. My name is Sandra McDowell, and my name is synonymous with volunteering. And I'm not just here. And I'm not just here when there's an election. I've been here, never left, and won't leave. I'm here for the residents of Miami Garden. I have a proven track record. The job ahead is a journey to keep Miami Gardens on track to becoming the number one city in Miami where residents are proud to call home and visitors leave feeling safe. And they're our best advocate to promote Miami Gardens. How great of a city is this? And how great of a city can we be? Let me just say, I'm not just sitting here with rose-colored glasses on. I understand the issues at hand, crime, housing, taxes, technology, schools, so that our residents can live and work where they play. I promise you to be inclusive with an open-door policy and not buckle under adversity or the pressure of the responsibility of the job, or compromise my ethics or moral. I stand with you, the residents of Miami Garden. Again, I've been here, I've never left. I might have been behind the scene, but I'm up front now. And vote for me, a vote for Sandra McDowell, a vote for ethics, moral, and someone who won't change her position. And I stand with the residents like I've always do and always will. Again, thank you again for the opportunity. My name is Sandra McDowell, seat 4.
Again, my name is Janice Coakley, seat 4. Why you should vote for me? You should vote for me because I'm dedicated, experienced, and trustworthy to the people. My years working in city government for 38 years, I will be bringing experience from day one. I want to make government accountable to the people. I will work forward to get our council and important meetings televised. I itemize budget that I asked from day one when the city became a city. I would like public safety to assure that we have the amount of police officers to cover our city. I want to make our schools stronger than they are and partner up with some of these sororities, fraternities, retired teachers, and people in the community. Our residents, we have to remind mayor and council that we are the people and the resident. We put you in, we take you out. Reminder, we are only one vote. Once I'm up on that desk, I'm only one vote. It takes four votes for anything to pass and change, and I will need your help. I have raised successful children who took outside role of taking care of me, and I have taken care of Girl Scouts. That is my heart. I am the president of my local, and I fought very hard to keep our water and sanitation employees, and that will tell you how hard I will work for you. When elected, I will make sure that the residents are informed as what's going on. I will continue coming to UPAC meetings. I will continue to be involved in the community, regardless if I'm elected or not. And also, that bond, the $60,000 bond, $60 million. Remember, $10 million of that is for the police, and $50 million is for the parks. And we need to make the city accountable. Vote for Janice Coakley, seat 4. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Give him a hand.
What's happening in your city? It's the What's Happening Miami Gardens Show with your host, T. Gerard Williams.